Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, beautiful humans. If a professional, polished, well-edited podcast is what you're after, then move right on.
If, however, you love unfiltered banter, unedited bloopers, authentic heart sharing, and a very generous dash of holistic health education, then you're in the right place.
Let's dive in, shall we? Welcome back to the Holistic Health Podcast. It is Nat Douglas here, and I'm flying solo with an episode on perimenopause. So I guess where I'd love to start with this is just acknowledging that perimenopause is a very natural and an inevitable life transition that every woman experiences. Yet I feel like it does remain a bit of a topic shrouded in mystery and misconception. And although I do have to say it's having a moment, perimenopause is having a moment, and perhaps you've noticed that as well. And I do feel like there are more women talking about this topic, and I really do hope for the better. But I do feel that as with anything that has a moment, let's say, and has more people speaking about it, more people weighing in with opinions, experiences, information, etc., sometimes it can create confusion or amplify the myths or misconceptions. And so it's my goal today to give you a little intro or taster into a few of my thoughts around this powerful life transition. And where I would love to start is just acknowledging that I think that part of the problem with perimenopause is that although every female client I speak to, is aware that it's something that is going to happen at some point in time, there's really not much of an idea around how you actually know if you're in perimenopause. And what's made even more confusing is that it seems even when they've seen a medical practitioner, there's a disconnect often between a woman's lived experience of feeling her hormones shifting and the validation, information, or lack thereof from a medical front. And I'm absolutely not saying that that is everyone's experience, because it's not. And there are some really incredible doctors, specialists out there that, they are not, gaslighting women's feelings or experiences or confusing them even more during this transitional time. But I have to say that for the large majority of my clients who I support through this time, their experience isn't super positive. And it is one that is often not left, they're not often leaving the doctor's or specialist office feeling like they have a thorough understanding, that they have hope, that they feel empowered. And I really think that those are all things that are completely possible during this time. So on that note, I'm going to highlight, underline, exclamation mark, circle again, that perimenopause is a transition. It's not a moment in time or a day that you reach where you're like, oh, woke up today in perimenopause. I'm perimenopausal today, marked it on my calendar, made it, let's move on. That would be great, perhaps, maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't, who knows. But it's not available, so we're just going to park that and let that one go. And it's a transition. So I hate even using this word because it's not a disease, but I guess the diagnosis, for very much a lack of a better label on that, of perimenopause is based on both symptoms, clinical symptoms, so how you're feeling, which would require really thoroughly listening to you, FYI. And, also alongside some weight on blood tests too, but often consecutive blood testing done over time, not a one-off snapshot. So, it's not enough for someone to just run one singular hormone test and then go, yep, definitely you are in perimenopause. It really needs to, even according to the criteria, has to be done over some consecutive tests and then often matched up with clinical symptoms. So if you're not even getting that, then move on, I would say, because you're not getting someone who is really looking at the whole picture and looking at it thoroughly. And I'm not going, as much as I'm very tempted to, I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole you know, all right, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole today because it is, I feel, a longer discussion and not my intent for this particular episode. However, if you are keen to understand more about how you know if you're in perimenopause and whereabouts along that journey you might be, then I do have a masterclass coming up on this shortly, which you'll be able to access and learn more about. And also, of course, you know, time for Q&As because we love Q&As if you show up live, of course. I will share more on the details on that at the end of the podcast for you for those that are interested. But what I wanted to highlight today is why it's important to prepare for perimenopause. And, you know, like, why bother? Why not let, you know, let it just come and deal with it then and just, you know, file it under the bed until that moment comes. And I'm going to give you four or five, let's see how we go, really bloody good reasons, I think, why I think you should prepare. So the first reason, frankly, is that if you prepare your body well for perimenopause, including understanding what changes in your cycle, body, and mind to look out for, you're going to have a much easier transition than if you don't. And a reminder that the transition through perimenopause can be a 2 to 10 year journey on average. So just quote unquote putting up with it or quote unquote getting through is not a fabulous strategy when we are talking about a matter of years of potentially having to put up with it or, you know, white knuckle your way through. Number two is increased symptoms during perimenopause. For example, women with more hot flushes, disturbances to sleep and sweats have been shown to have a higher risk of cardiovascular disease and a reduction in bone health compared to those with less of those perimenopausal symptoms. And I don't know about you, but I certainly do not want any increased risk of cardiovascular disease or any negative impact on my bone health if I have the chance to stop it. And you do. Number three is also that more depression symptoms, difficulty with sleep, sweats, and flushes also correlate with a greater risk of cognitive decline later in life. And I think this is incredibly important because I guess personally reflecting on this, I think that obviously as you get older, at some point, there is, you know, a natural decline in your physical capabilities, and not at all saying that you are destined to be a couch potato or are going to be absolutely achy no matter what you do. But there is some just reality of the fact that, you know, as we get older, our physical bodies do age. And I think what I've seen as someone who, despite being relatively young myself, has spent a lot of time around older people, elderly people, including caring for or helping to care for several of my grandparents as they aged, and as many of them actually went through Alzheimer's and or dementia, and also reflecting, I guess, with my mum who worked in aged care for most of her career. One thing I think that is just so important and such a comfort is still having your cognition, still having your mind, still having your mental sharpness through that time. And what a gift to be able to hold on to if you're able to. And so while sometimes that can feel like a really long way away and also like a problem that might not feel really embodied for you if you've never had any issues with your cognition, like your memory, your concentration, your mental kind of sharpness, I really do think it's something to think about. And for me personally, as someone who clearly has a family history of some of, of dementia and of Alzheimer's, you bet your absolute bottom dollar that I am going to be making sure that I'm doing everything I can to ensure that that's not my fate. But I don't think that you need to have had a family history of these things in order to warrant caring about it and really trying to lay down some foundations. Number four is that I think going into perimenopause metabolically healthy, i.e. in an ideal body range with good blood sugar management and insulin sensitivity. So insulin sensitivity being the opposite to insulin resistance, which is what diabetics have, or type 2 diabetics have, often means you're less likely to experience a greater challenge in these areas, such as weight gain, when you're navigating that transition. And I know that that can be a really difficult thing for a lot of women, noticing their body changing in their 40s, that their efforts to lose weight, change their body composition, don't feel like they're as easeful compared to younger years. And there is truth and a reason behind that. Again, a conversation for another day. And also, I feel like the time to try and really optimize your metabolic health, meaning, you know, your weight, your blood sugar management, your cardiovascular disease risk factors, is before you are entering that phase, because it means that some of those changes that you're navigating from a hormonal perspective are going to be a little bit easier than if you do absolutely nothing and you deal with it, you know, way down the track. Number five is, and this is something that I feel quite passionate about, and this may or may not ring true for you, so take it or leave it, as with everything I share. Feeling like you're an active participant in your health story and not a victim to a changing body that you're struggling to understand, I think makes for an easier journey and allows you to be in a better position to trust your own intuition and body instincts and be a better advocate for yourself if you do face any challenges on your journey. One of the most common and distressing things I see happen for women in their 40s and into their 50s as well is feeling completely gaslit. And it's not uncommon for them to feel like they're going crazy, need a divorce, need to see a therapist, or need to quit their career and start over again. And I'm not saying that you can't or shouldn't do any of these things. It's more that I often see they're coming from a place of not being able to grasp or trust what is happening in their body and feeling lost, overwhelmed, and really lonely in their experience and unheard. And that leads to a sense of feeling like you don't know yourself or what's best for you or what's going on. And I don't think we can underestimate the negative impact that that can have on us as humans. I think that, and we're unfortunately in a culture and definitely in a conventional medical system that is not set up for empowering you of being in the driver's seat of your health and acknowledging that you will always be the person who knows your body best. So if you can start to work on creating that sense of self-trust, of self-awareness, of knowing your own body, understanding it, I think that it really does put you in a better position for navigating any conversations that, or investigations or challenges that might come up along your journey from a perimenopausal perspective, rather than going into it feeling like, quote unquote, they know best. Because unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your lens on things, they don't. You know, practitioners, myself included, can help you understand and interpret the messages that your body is sending you. However, you are always going to be the person that is the absolute, you know, master interpreter of, or master observer, I should say, of what's happening in your body, and knowing what feels normal versus what feels like just that feeling that something's off. And I really, really feel passionate about that, in case you can't hear it through my voice. And I could talk about it for a really long time, and perhaps I will talk about it for a really long time in another episode, but I really wanted to just highlight that for you. So if you are someone who is in their 40s or even late 30s, or perhaps you're in your 50s and you want to come along for the ride as well, I would highly, highly recommend that you seek out reliable information to, first of all, understand what this transition is, when it can happen, What are the signs? What is normal? What isn't? And perhaps a red flag that you do need some support, and how best to support your body before, during, and after. And I know and have seen how much of a difference this can make. And if that does sound like it interests you, then, and you're keen to dive a little bit deeper into all of that, into really understanding that perimenopausal transition and getting both informed and empowered, then I would love to share with you that I'm actually running a masterclass on perimenopause in April, which you can sign up for via the link in my Instagram bio or by DMing me the word perimenopause on Instagram, or by navigating to the show notes of this episode. And if all that fails, just hunt me down on Instagram, send me a message and be like, help, how do I sign up? But I'm hoping with all those options, you will find a way to come and join me, because I really think that, you know and I trust this is going to be game-changing information for you to arm yourself with. And I would absolutely love to have you there, and really honestly deeply appreciate you sharing this with any women in your life who you feel could benefit too. I think the more we bring this conversation forward, the more we arm ourselves with empowering tools, the more we take control of our health and get the right people around us to support us, we're just unstoppable. Like, this actually gets to be a really powerful transition in your life. Though I do think that at the moment, culturally, we're lacking in how we actually make that a really empowering journey. So let's rewrite that story together, or at least start to, with some, you know, good information and some practical strategies around how to actually do that for yourself. And I really cannot wait to see you there at that masterclass. So all the information will be in link in my bio on Instagram, DM me perimenopause, or navigate to the show notes of this episode. And we will be back as a duo again next week, and really looking forward to being back in your ear holes. Until then, have a fabulous week, and we will speak to you next week.